This episode is brought to you by Home Team Inspection Service. When you partner with Home Team, you're getting more than a home inspection. You're delivering the home team experience. With a team approach, fast turnarounds, and package options that include home inspection warranties, Home Team helps real estate pros stand out. Plus, many locations now offer pay at close, giving your clients flexibility when they need it most. Schedule your next inspection with confidence at hometeam.com.
I've sold millions to complete strangers from having conversations in the grocery store, in a parking lot, at the bank, nail salon, hair salon. I've sold a house to a person at just about every place I visit or I spend my money.
Welcome back to the Color of Money podcast. I'm joined today with my awesome co-hosts, Bowman Keady and Mr. Emmerich Peace. And today we have Sherry Pettis, the self-proclaimed The Real Realtor. Out of Atlanta, Georgia, with us today, sharing some secrets around just her sales business, how she's grown, what she's done, her unique listing process, and talking about her journey as an agent. So welcome, Sherry. Great to have you.
Thank you.
As we jump in, let's give the listeners just a little bit of background, who you are, where you came from, what your world looks like.
So I grew up in Boston, and I grew up in a home with my mom, my grandparents, my uncle. And in the 11th grade, the military came out to my school. I was part of a program in Boston called METCO. And they sent all the poor little brown and black kids from the hood, and they sent us out to the suburbs. And I went through Wellesley Public School District. Probably to this day, Wellesley is probably the most affluent, richest suburb outside of Boston. I went to school with some very rich folks. And so in the 11th grade, the military came to recruit us. And I went home and told my mom, I'm an only child again. And at this time, I was still the only grandchild. I was only grandchild until I was about 19 on my mother's side. So I came home, told my mom, I'm joining the military. My mother said, no, you can't join the military. And she asked me, what was I going to do after high school? And I told her I was not going to college. I was going to get a job and help her. And my mother got face to face, just like this, nose to nose. And she went, if you don't go to college, I'll make your life so blank, blank, blank and miserable you wish you had a win. So I went to college. Great 4 years. My mother was not playing. Great 4 years. I pledged Zeta Phi Beta sorority. I moved to Georgia in 93. I was running from a boyfriend of mine, and I decided to come down here and live with one of my sorority sisters. I have an aunt who worked for Century 21 and Remax. And at this time, I had one kid. And this is years later after I moved down here. But my aunt always looked like she was enjoying life. She traveled. She always had money, nice car, nice clothes, nice jewelry. And I was like, oh, I'm going to be like Auntie Joyce and go sell real estate. Well, what I realized is Auntie Joyce had all that money because she didn't have any children. So they take up all your damn money. I have a kid that goes to SCAD right now, and ooh, that tuition is killing me. So I got into real estate as a result of my aunt. I did one transaction with her and realized very quickly I did not want to work for family. Fast forward a few years, I did property management. And then I got into real estate full time in 2001. I was with one company for a little bit over 10 years, and I joined KW in 2012, and my business has taken off. You heard me say earlier, even when I'm at my highest production, I still don't work nights. Most days, I am home by 5, 5:30. And if it's cold, rainy, and snowing, I'm going to be home before then. Yeah. So I have a very small team. It was larger. And I am a listing agent. I go after listings. That is my niche. Many of my transactions come from unconventional ways of lead generating. And that stemmed from years ago, someone told me if I talked about real estate, no matter where I was, that I could write it off. And when they told me that, I took it and ran with it. I talked about real estate at the nail salon, at the hair salon, at the restaurant. And the intent was, again, to be able to write everything off. I was like, oh, well, I really shouldn't be getting my nails and my hair done because I can't afford it at this time. But since I'm going to talk about real estate, I'll write it off. And that turned into a business. I've sold millions to complete strangers from having conversations in the grocery store, in a parking lot, at the bank, nail salon, hair salon. I've sold a house to a person at just about every place I visit or I spend my money.
And that is a different way of lead generating. And so we always talk about that conversation of lead generation. I guess that's where you live. That's what you espouse. So you teach a class on unconventional ways to lead generate. What makes that class so special?
It's a lot of interaction. I get people all the time asking, can you do it on Zoom? And I agree sometimes, but it's not as fun. I am a very interactive person. And one of the ways I interact with people is I pretend I know them. Like I will talk to a person if I meet them. Okay, perfect example. I'm in the nail salon one day and I'm talking to a woman. And during the course of the conversation, she told me, and it's because I asked questions. She told me her name. And I asked her, where does she live? And she said, oh, I live a few minutes away. And my response was, oh, where do you live? I've been selling real estate for a long time. I've sold a house just about everywhere. She told me what street she lived on. She told me what her name was. So when I got back to the office after getting my nails done, I sent her a handwritten note card. I am a big advocate of handwritten note cards. Do I have any here? I do. I have a bunch of them. I will go in Dollar General and I'll buy all of the little note cards, the blank ones. I might buy 30, 40, 50 packs at a time. I wipe them out. And so I sent her a handwritten note card. Hey, her name was Ursula. Ursula, it was so nice to meet you at the nail salon. Let me know if you ever need, you know, a realtor. 3 months later, I got an email from her. And she was a realtor. I knew she was a realtor. Well, she told me in the email was, I appreciate you sending that handwritten note card. That's what we used to do back in the day. And what I didn't tell you at the nail salon is that my mom had just passed away and I inherited her house. I am looking for a listing agent. And because I was a realtor, I don't want to offend any of my friends. So I'm going to go with a total stranger. Are you interested? I listed that house, sold it 10 days later. That was my aha moment. So I will talk to a complete stranger as if I know them. There are many times I will say, hey, you look so familiar. Where do you work? Did I meet you at your job? And they go through where they work. Now I know where they work. Do you live in the area? You look so familiar. Oh, yeah, yeah. I live in McDonough. I sell real estate. I sell houses all the time. Where do you live? By the time I end up having this conversation, these complete strangers tell me everything. Tell me where they work. Tell me what street they live on. That's how I get a lot of business, by having those conversations and pulling out that information. You'd be surprised. Total strangers will give me their complete address. And we go from there.
So your first step is getting information and engaging people and being thoughtful in how you have those conversations. What do you do with that information? You talked a little bit about that with your handwritten note card, but like, how do you use that information to maintain that relationship? Because most people have these interactions every day where we talk to people and we either are like, oh, that was a really, you know, I didn't enjoy that conversation. Or that was like, I had an awesome conversation with that person in the coffee shop, but I never see them again. I never think about it again. So what is it that allows you to take that conversation and establish a relationship out of it?
So I'm going to give you a little disclosure. I partied an awful lot back in the 80s and the 90s, and it is catching up to me. So I have to go back, and I'm old school. I literally have a clipboard, right? And my clipboard is full of names and contacts. And when I go back to the office, I write it on the clipboard. We put it in command. They go on a smart plan. They go on a calendar, my digital calendar, so I can call them in a few months to follow up. But I'm very old school.
Let me tell you, Sherry, I'm sure glad you said you put in command, because I was about to say, damn, she did all of this stuff on a clipboard. How many pages does she have in the clipboard? I was like, really? Everything, the clipboard? And then you said command, you say you put in the database. So I'm like, okay.
And what sort of plan, like what sort of follow-up do you do?
I'm emailing them. I'm tracking them down on social media. So many times when I have a conversation with the person, I am on social media trying to track them down. Mm-hmm. And if I pull them up on social media, my conversation is, I don't care what you look like. Everybody's cute. I don't care what your grandchildren look like, how funny looking they are. They're adorable. I don't care if you got that ugly cat or that raggedy dog in your picture. I am going to relate to you no matter what. And if you notice, we've been on the phone for 11 minutes. And how many times did I make you smile or laugh? Mm-hmm. Right? That is key in my networking. I will make you laugh and I will make you smile. And once I do that, I'm going to reel you in and I'm going to get an appointment at your house.
Well, that's the thing, is about how do you make people feel, right?
Yeah. You're right. Like, I'm going to crack a joke. I'm going to make you smile and I'm going to relate. If you tell me you got to take your mama to the hospital, I remember that time I had to take my mama to the hospital. If you tell me you have to do something with your grandchildren, I don't have grandchildren, but I have kids, I have nieces, nephews. I am going to figure out a way to connect with you in that conversation, no matter what it is. I don't care what it is.
And one thing you said, I caught this, and correct me if I'm wrong. What you said, I either follow up until they tell me absolutely not, no, or they die.
So you can tell me no, unless you call my broker.
All right.
That's right here. Can you see it? It says, never take no for an answer.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
All right.
And this is a check for $12,000 dated 11/21/2014. And this was a game changer for me. I called her, and in the course of our conversation, we probably was on the phone maybe 7 minutes. And I asked her for an appointment, and she told me no 3 or 4 times. She told me she already had an appointment with 3 other agents, and she didn't need a 4. I hung up the phone with her. I had my assistant make a listing packet, and I went to her house anyway. And I knocked on the door, and I said, hey, Miss Connie, her name is Connie Lindsay. Hey, Miss Connie, I'm the realtor you spoke to earlier today. I know you told me not to come by because you already had 3 appointments, but I was in the neighborhood and I just wanted to drop this off. I wasn't in the neighborhood. I drove specifically to her house. I tell little bitty untruths to get what I want, right? So she opened the door about this much. She stuck her head out and said, and Miss Connie was probably about 80. Her son was probably about 60 and he lived with her. And I believe he just wanted to see someone different besides his mother. And he yelled from the kitchen, oh, mama, just let the lady in. And when she let me in, we walked around the house and I told her I possibly may have a buyer. And she said, oh, everyone says that. Oh, everyone says that. And I said, no, Miss Connie, I really do. Please don't sign any paperwork. I know you got all these 3 other listings, appointments, but let me bring my buyer out. I am that agent who I'm never, ever going to talk badly about another agent, but I will disqualify the hell out of you. And I do my research. I knew the 3 agents she had appointments with. My strategy is to go in, not going to talk bad about them, but I will disqualify her. One agent was a brand new agent in our office. And I said to her, oh, he's fabulous. He's probably going to be rookie of the year. Right? He ended up selling a whole lot more real estate than I did. But that year, he was rookie of the year. So I disqualified him by letting her know he was a brand new agent. She had another realtor come out. And I said to her, oh, I love Jackie. I want to be like her when I grow up. She travels so much. I think she's about to retire. Right? I will disqualify you. Long story short, I sold that house and I got the whole commission. The buyer that I was talking about was a real buyer. She bought that house. And so it says never take no for an answer because she told me no like 5 times. But I went to her house anyway and I got the whole commission. And I took my kids and my mother on a cruise and signed that check. I'm consistent, relentless, and I don't give up. I grew up as an only child. I don't take no very well.
Home Team Inspection Service is changing the way agents and clients experience home inspections. Their team-based model, streamlined scheduling, and bundled packages, including home inspection warranties, make the process smoother from contract to closing. And with Pay It Close available in many locations, you can give your buyers more peace of mind with less upfront cost. Choose the team that works with yours. Visit HomeTeam.com to learn more.
You mentioned as we were talking that you want to do some more coaching and leaning into coaching. Help me articulate to our listeners that are either newer agents or seasoned agents that struggle with hearing no and struggle with that relentlessness. Like, how do you get past that mind shift of being able to take no and being able to be told no three or four times before you're really trying to overcome those objections? How do you teach that? What are one or two things people can start doing to implement into their world to help them sell more houses?
Track your numbers. That's the biggest thing for me. Track your numbers, because if you know how many no's it takes you to get to a yes, you don't give up. So when I started that clipboard, that was 2014. And I was in MAPS coaching for years. I took MAPS coaching probably 6-7 years. And so, you know, they make you track your numbers. I knew that between 21 and 24 conversations, I was going to get a listing appointment. Mm-hmm. And I got good at that conversion where I got it down to like 8 to 11, which was like in 2019, 2020. I knew that if I had 8 to 11 phone calls, conversations, that I would get a listing appointment. So I tracked my numbers. So when I get to 16, 17, 18 no's, and I'm like, I'm ready for a mimosa. I know if I just keep calling, eventually I'm going to get that yes. That was a huge aha moment for me, tracking my numbers and knowing when that yes is coming.
And then how many listings did you take last year? What was the number you told us?
49 of them were in command in our reports, which means I probably had 10 more or a little bit more that signed and then called me the next day and changed their mind. So okay. I've had close to 60 listing agreements signed. My best year, I sold 64 listings, which means I probably took 75, 80 listings.
You know, we talk a lot in our business and in our company specifically about listings leverage leads, and you've created that monster. I love that.
The thing about that, we have this conversation about listings because, as you said, you don't work pretty much after 5 and you don't work on the weekends. You can't do that as a buyer's agent.
Because I'm going to tell you, last Friday, Monday was a holiday. I went home Friday. I didn't leave the house till Tuesday. I like being home. I will stay home all weekend long in my onesie watching Netflix. Now, granted, I still lead generate because I'm always on social media, responding, texting, reaching out to folks, commenting.
And that just gives you more control of your life. That gives you more control of your time. I believe that's something that a lot of us as real estate professionals, we have to learn how to gain more control of our time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that time that you spend in your business, that I love that idea of finish by 5.
Yeah.
So what does that do for you in your personal life? When you set yourself to that place where you're not working after 5, you're not working on the weekends, because I believe a lot of real estate professionals want to get to that place. What does that freedom look like?
My kids are like, Mommy, get out, get a life, and go get a man. I'm like, I like my peace. I like my quiet house. It gives me a lot of time to follow up and do the little things to get clients, right? So when we had the snowstorm, you know, we had the snowstorm. I grew up in Boston. That little bitty snow was nothing.
I was going to say, as a Boston person, I got to speak up. You come from Boston. You ain't scared of no little 1-inch of snow.
But down here. Oh,
that turned that city upside down. No,
they shut it down when they say it's too cold. Like the day before, it was like, it's too cold for the kids. Like, no school. I'm like, what do you mean it's too cold? It's cool. Right. I was in that program. I had to be at my bus stop at 6:30 in the morning. Snow, sleet, it didn't matter. Put on 2 pairs of socks and keep it moving. Yeah. So it does allow me an awful lot of time to do follow-up. I have, and it's at home, it's at my house, I have a follow-up bag. It is a clear plastic bag that I got from family reunion or somewhere, and it has my note cards. I spend a lot of time taking these empty, blank note cards, and I might write out 30, 40, 50 of them at a time, put my business card in them, put a return label and a stamp. And they pretty much say, thank you for taking my phone call. When you are ready to sell again, call me. I just have to put the address on them. I will do that. I will sit at home and put return label, many things that an assistant can do, but she's pretty busy. And if I'm at home drinking wine and binge watching Netflix for a few hours, I am always reaching out to all the different social media groups, you know, first time home buyers, I need a realtor, BRN, check in to see, you know, if someone is doing a referral. It gives me an awful lot of time to do follow up work. Mm. And like the other night, I got home. I had went out with a group of friends and I had a couple of cocktails and I got home at like 5:30 and I went to sleep. And I woke up at like 10 o'clock, like, what am I going to do at 10 o'clock at night? So I went through Dotloop. I went all the way back to as far as I could go in Dotloop for my sold transactions. And I started writing them handwritten note cards. Hey, it's been a while since we spoke, since you, you know, bought or sold your house. I was just thinking about you. And then I followed that up with a text message. So I have Bling, that digital card on my phone. And the next day was a weekend. I spent all day long watching TV and sending text messages to my past clients. I'm going through some old paperwork. I came across your home. I just wanted to say hello. And I sent 60 of those out and it resulted in a listing appointment in Savannah. Now, my past client, Savannah's not my area, but she has a house she wants to sell. And she was like, oh my goodness, I can't believe you just reached out to me. I was going to call this other young lady, but now that you called me. So next week, I have a listing appointment in Savannah. Savannah's 3 hours away, but I love Savannah. So I am going to go meet the referral that I sent her to, walk through the house and come back. But, you know, 60 text messages turned into a referral.
So you talked a little bit about how part of your career took off because you became well-known in a place, in a niche.
Yes.
We talked about that. Tell us a little bit about that. Like, you know, what helped launch your career and how did you become so well-known?
Tell us about the shoe game.
So I've been going to the country club for years. I've been going to Eagles Landing Country Club for years. And I decided before COVID that I was going to join because I wanted to raise my average sales price. These houses back here typically sell for $5 to $1 million, right? But now they're building bigger homes. And there's some pretty big people that live back here. And I'm pointing back here because the country club is right behind me. I'm looking. My office overlooks the golf course. Chris Tucker lives here. Waka Flocka mom lives here. Shaq's mama lives here. Van Jake lives here. There's a lot of famous retired folks with money, right? So I decided that I wanted to get a slice of that pie. So instead of just going for events, I joined the country club. And then I started showing up. When I tell you, every day, I went there every day. I probably spend easily $600-$800 a month in food and drinking, but it's paid off. So I started going. And one of the first interactions I had was a woman, very wealthy woman, said to me, I love your outfit. And instead of just saying thank you and keep walking, I look for ways to interject myself into a conversation or a situation. And when she said, I love your outfit, I said, oh, thank you. I got everything from Ross. It was really inexpensive. And she said to me, you didn't get that purse from Ross. Now, it's an expensive purse. This is the purse my mama said, oh, I can't believe you spent all that money on a pocketbook. Well, that pocketbook led into a friendship with a very affluent woman at this country club. And now I have lunch with her and her friends every week. I have been invited to countless events, Women Hearts of Atlanta, sponsored by Morehouse House of Medicine. As a result of that, I've met Chris Tucker. I'm friends with Chris Tucker's mom now, right? I'm trying to get her out the house and go have lunch with us, right? And so these relationships have turned into a multitude. 5 years ago, no one knew who Sherry Pettis was at that country club. I promise you right now, if you called up there or walked into there any day of the week and said, anybody in here know a realtor? Do you know Sherry Pettis? I promise you somebody's going to raise their hand. I showed up for everything. I showed up when the Indian community post Diwali. I go get my little sarari and my little whole outfit, and I show up for that. I show up for Western night. I wear a cowboy hat, but my cowboy hat got to have rhinestones. And my cowboy boots got rhinestones and tassels, right? I'm a bit flashy when it comes to dressing up. It was my shoes. I would walk into the country club, and one of the first thing the ladies and the men would say, oh, what you got on your feet today? And that has turned into countless conversations. I've sold houses back there. There are probably over a dozen realtors that live in this country club. And I've had so many people say, oh, you're not going to be able to infiltrate that business. So Susan got it on lockdown. John, this one. And they start raising these names, telling me why I'm not going to take over the country club, please. I don't sell as much as all of them, but I am working towards it. And I just got a referral the other day, went on the listing appointment because one of the ladies was like, my friend is selling her house and I know a bunch of realtors, but I want her to use you. It's a $1.2 million house. It's in the bag. We are going out there. So I'm very intentional on what I wear and what I put on my feet. I tell women all the time when I teach this class, when you go to the car dealership to service your car, do you go in sweatpants? Do you go looking crazy? Not me. I go like I'm going to a closing. I dress because when I walk in that building, everybody in there knows Sherry Pettis is in the building because I go say hi to everyone. I give out pens. I am not opposed to going up to that old man who sells cars. He's like 80 years old. And I will go up to him and I'll be like, hey, how you doing? Good looking. I'll flirt. Absolutely. Use what your mama gave you. Show do. Ain't ashamed of it either.
I love it. You're so dialed into like who you are, comfortable in your own skin, and you built a business around not faking it to make it, but leaning into who you are. I think there's so much fraudulentness in our business that the more that you can just identify who you are and what you want to do well, and then just go do that day in and day out, and great things will happen. I love that, Sherry.
I think this idea of embracing your own personality and turning everyday life into a business is really special. I think people oftentimes wake up and they say, hey, I'm going to go to work and then I'm going to go have my life. And what I love about what I've heard from Sherry is, her work and her life, they're the same. She's figured out how to take her personality, her approach. And she's like, even when I'm sitting at home doing Netflix, I'm hanging out, I'm being me, but I'm working on my business. It is part of it. She's figured out how to integrate business and life in a way that seems to work for her. And I love that.
It's very integrated. I mean, I'm at the nail salon one day and there's a woman sitting next to me and I'm waiting to figure out how I can get myself in this conversation because I can tell she got money, right? And she starts talking and her nail tech says, oh, Miss Sophie, I know you travel. Where have you been lately? And she said, Boston. And I'm like, ding, ding, ding. I'm from Boston. And we start talking. And she says to me, I know a big time realtor in Texas and I'm all about building relationships. Her friend was Diana Kokoska. And I'm very bold. I took a picture with this woman. I sent it to Diana and said, hey, you don't know me, but I met your friend at the nail salon. And that conversation, that interaction turned into a friendship with her. I picked her up from the airport. I can call Diana Kokoska now. She'll either call me back. I'm very bold. I have friendships with Mo Anderson. I stayed at her house in Oklahoma and taught out there. And it's because I raised my hand. I am that person that will raise my hand and say, hey, you don't know me, but I know you. And can I pick your brain?
Do you ever have doubt? Like, are you ever afraid or shy? And because somebody listening to you talk is just like, there's a confidence to it, right?
I can't be like her.
Yeah, I can't be like her. Do you ever experience, like, in moments, what if they don't like me? What if I don't know them? Is this a little awkward? Do you ever sense that? And what do you do about that?
Get over it. Think about that, them coins. think about that relationship. I was at an event yesterday with Mo Anderson, right? It's because I'm bold. I raise my hand and say hello. So for those of you who say, oh, I can't be like her, I wasn't always like this. I was bullied a lot as a kid. Mm-hmm. I was bullied a lot as a child in middle school, not so much in high school. I think part of what helps me is I grew up in the hood and I grew up around hustlers. I grew up around drug dealers, prostitutes. Like, I saw people hustle who weren't shy, and I just learned how to turn my hustle legal. And so I tell people, don't be a secret agent. You may not have that personality where you want to run up and talk to everyone, but you should wear your name tag every day, every single day. Have your business cards. If I go to your social media, I should be able to tell you're a real estate agent, a realtor immediately. My first scroll, I should be able to scroll one time and tell that you're a realtor. So I tell new agents, secret agents, you have to tell everybody and their mom that you're a realtor. And so many of them like, well, I don't want to intrude. I feel like I'm being intrusive or I'm getting in their business. People will tell you if you're in their business.
And when you have the boldness, when you figure out in your own mind, whatever that reason is, right? Whether it's your motivation to do business, whether it's just saying, I don't care anymore, whether it's your love for people, whatever it is that allows you to get beyond that. When you get beyond that thing that holds us back, what we find, I think, which I see as the main lesson from you, is that people are just people and people want to connect. And when you get beyond your own hesitations, insecurities, et cetera, and you just go for it, that boldness pays off because ultimately we're all human beings and we all want to connect with other people.
I've had so many interactions. I was at a grocery store one day on a Sunday looking crazy. And there was an older white couple who was walking over to the stand to get the magazines. This was years ago. And I said to myself, this is another turning point in my business because it showed me that it's my own head that's stopping me from making money. And when they walked over to that magazine, I said to myself, if they pick up that real estate magazine, I'm gonna go talk to them. And then they picked it up. And in my head, I went, oh God, now I got to talk to them. And that I'm old school bold. That drunk monkey said, girl, them old white folks don't want to talk to your black ass. But I talked to them anyway. You know, those people bought a house 10 days later for cash. And I just talked to the wife maybe 4 or 5 days ago. I just call and check on her. But my limiting belief, my stereo, the negative views that I have about some stereotypes would have stopped me because I said to myself, them old white people don't want to talk to you. They absolutely wanted to talk to me. And they bought the first house they sold. So I only showed them one house, and they bought it 10 days later. Wow. All because I said hello.
If we could say everything about this conversation, I think it makes us believe that your success in real estate is directly proportional to the number of people. When they think of real estate, they think of you. And that's what you epitomize in this conversation and in your business.
Thank you. Thank you for that. I had a friend of mine who met a mutual friend, and she said, if you meet Sherry Pettis and she don't try to convince you to buy or sell a house, you met an imposter.
That is a great way to shut it down. Daniel, any closing thoughts, Daniel? You want to close us out?
I think the authenticity, Sherry, is important. And you can build a business Unk says it all the time. You're one relationship away from changing your life. And if we continue to have those mindsets, we can build incredible relationships as we continue to grow and build an incredible business as well. So, thank you so much for that. If there's one thing you want to leave our listeners with, what is the one thing that they can do to change their lives, change their businesses, or change your family?
Call me when you have a referral for Atlanta, and I can do the same. And if you all ever need me to come up and teach my class, you just got to give me a plane ticket, a hotel, and feed me once. That's it.
So how do they get in touch with you?
My phone number is 404. I'm old school Atlanta. 404-642-1618.
Thank you so much, Sherry. Thank you, Bo and Emma, for being on. Until next time.
Follow the Color of Money podcast today and get notified when new episodes are released weekly.
Be part of this transformative listening experience.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not KWRI and its affiliates, and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information. Warning. You must comply with the TCPA and any other federal, state, or local laws, including for B2B calls and texts. Never call or text a number on any do not call list, and do not use an auto dialer or artificial voice or pre-recorded messages without proper consent. Contact your attorney to ensure your compliance.